The sound of you pouring that ginger ale was like really pleasing to me. I just spit chocolate angle.
Lick it off. Lick it off. Don't waste it. This is too good. You can't let any of that go to waste.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just like really liked that.
No, it's really good because it's good milk chocolate and it's like real peanut butter.
No, I meant the sound of you pouring the ginger ale. Oh.
That I can't explain.
Yeah, that was nice.
You're recording all of this.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping so because he missed the funny bit in the beginning. So at least we got something.
That's true. People get to listen to us eat.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Danny.
Hello, Kathleen.
I really should have gotten ready.
How's it going? Not great.
It's
over
going
there.
Well. No, it's going okay. Well. I took like a 20-minute nap. I was in and out of consciousness. I heard you guys talking about fuck all. I don't know. I don't know what the hell you were talking about. Some nonsense.
D&D.
Yeah.
Stat blocks.
Yeah, I heard that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Took a little nice little nap. Had some chickens, some Gardein chickens with some ranch, and I'm feeling good. Had an egg. Had a golden egg. No, peanut butter egg.
Are you sure you're feeling good?
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good.
It was. It's because it's milk chocolate with this creamy peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know what brand it was.
And I liked that there was like a chocolate separation down in the middle. Mm-hmm. And there's peanut butter on both sides. Because I thought I was being clever. I was going to bite it in half and be able to like scoop out the peanut butter.
No.
No.
It got you. Earlier, though, when I ate one, I was able to eat one half, and then I ate the middle layer, and then I ate the other half. So I had, like, three pieces of chocolate egg. Yeah. So take that sip, and then we'll welcome everyone else to the V-Spot.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back. Yeah. Well, hopefully back, maybe for the first time.
I hope that a lot of people's first time was our last episode.
Yeah, that was the best. But I feel like you want to grow with us authentically. Like you have to earn that episode.
Yeah.
So to earn that episode, you have to work your way through the trash.
Through the bullshit. Yeah. Through the nonsense.
Yeah.
And the tomfoolery.
The worst. We always have tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
The phrase tomfoolery?
Yeah. Who is Tom?
And why is he fooling around?
Why is he fooling around?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
I do have some pop culture to talk about. Some relevant things.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've had Mr. Rogers on my mind recently. I actually wasn't a Mr. Rogers watcher much when I was little.
Mr. Rogers was, obviously, started, I feel like, in popularity before our time, but I never was a huge Mr. Rogers fan. I can remember watching it here and there, but honestly not as a child, more so as like maybe like an 8 to 12 year old, which obviously, that's like a child, but I'm not when I was little. You know what I mean?
I know.
Because it would be on PBS after, because like when my brother was little, he would watch Thomas the Tank Engine.
Me too.
And Mr. Rogers would be on like before or after that. So I would catch it because my brother was watching something that it was on with.
Mm-hmm.
But I never like really got super into Mr. Rogers. But I mean, I did watch it here and there for sure.
That's about where I was at.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Andy asked me the other day if I had seen the trailer for the documentary. And I was like, no. But he was just telling me a little bit more about Mr. Rogers. And we got talking about the background of the show and how he was just like a really good guy. And basically in the documentary, it proves that he has no skeletons in his closet. Like he's just a really good guy. So I started researching a little more. And I want to incorporate this into like a bigger episode eventually because there's like a whole deep dark tunnel that I could go down just for Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good idea because I feel like there's so many celebrities. And actually in hearing that your pop culture is about a celebrity, I do now have a pop culture.
Yes.
And so I feel like there's like a lot of celebrities who do cool stuff aside from just being vegan or vegetarian. Like they are actually like active. That would be a good episode. We should definitely do that.
Yeah. So and like present or past.
Right.
So I'm going to take a little excerpt from the book called The Peaceful Neighbor, Discovering the Counterculture, Mr. Rogers, which I'm going to have to order sooner than later. But there's a whole bunch of pages in that future episode that I will read or kind of reference, but just take a little snippet for now. The chapter, Empathy for Animals. He was a Presbyterian minister, just for a little bit of background. that he truly did love people and God and animals. And that was just like his thing. He didn't actively preach. He just knew that there was a lot of love that the world needed and the world had. And he wanted to just kind of like be a voice for all of that.
Sure.
So in addition to making his faith statement, Rogers said that he had several reasons for becoming a vegetarian. As I grew older, he said, I found I liked eating meat, fish, and fowl less and less. It was a matter of taste. He simply began to prefer eating fruits, nuts, vegetables, and whole grains. But there were other reasons at play, too. Moral reasons. And quoting, part of it has to do with the animals. It's hard to eat something you've seen walking around, he stated.
Yeah.
He expounded on this point a bit more colorfully in other settings. I don't want to eat anything that has a mother, he often said. And, like, true.
Yeah.
By the early 1970s, Rogers had developed empathy for all types of animals, empathy so deep that he didn't want to hurt these little sons and daughters in any way. He especially didn't want to stick them in his mouth, chew them, and swallow them.
It's an interesting way of putting it, sons and daughters.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's because, and man, will we talk about this later, but it's putting animals on the same level as humans.
Right.
Like, especially for someone from a religious standpoint.
Right?
Yeah, and like from a religious standpoint, you know, if you believe in God, a God, or any type of like higher power, then we are all like under their love. We are all sons and daughters. And that's kind of what he thought. And I was like, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So prior to his television program went national in the 1960s, he even took up the cause of dyed Easter chicks. So relevant with Easter going to be
Sunday,
2 days after this episode airs, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Colored peeps made of flesh and feathers, not marshmallow and sugar, were a popular Easter gift at that time, and unfortunately still are. But they were in five and dime stores across the nation, displaying them in their store windows, usually in cramped boxes under bright lights. Jeez. So even worse, it's interesting, not that we've come very far in relation to dyed Easter chicks, but further than like seeing them at the dollar store, I guess.
Right. But like a five and dime was like the equivalent to their corner stores.
I was going
to
say they're like mom and pop shop kind of things, right? Yeah. I don't know. So a few animal activists at the time considered the practice abusive, and Rogers joined their efforts by writing a song titled Don't Pick on the Peeps. His empathy for peeps and animals is loud and clear throughout this little known song.
Are you going to sing it?
No.
Come on.
No.
I'll do like backing vocals.
I don't know the like
beat. That's okay. No, you don't want to improv?
You're the singer.
Yeah, but I haven't like had a chance to like read these words to like really identify with
Are you
them.
Sure you haven't heard this song before?
I mean, I may or may not have heard like a word or two, but I haven't like heard it properly.
Maybe we can like come up with a little ditty.
A little ditty. Okay. Yeah, let's
do
it.
I'm 95 years old.
Yeah.
Like in the future.
You are,
though.
I know.
Like not right now.
Maybe we'll do like an Instagram performance.
That's a good idea. We could go live. We could do like an Instagram live for all two people that would watch it or something.
Maybe more than two people would watch it.
You know what we'll do? We'll give this song to Rachel and we'll have Rachel come up with us with a tune for it.
Perfect.
Good.
Done and done.
So I'll read it for now. And here it is. Don't pick on the peeps. If you'd paint a cow, she'd holler. If you'd dye a dog, he'd squeal. If you'd color a cat, he'd scream just like that. Well, how do you think chickens feel? Don't pick on the peeps this year. Don't dye us pink and blue. Don't pick on the peeps you hear. Find other things to do. Please don't dye the ducks this year. We hate us to be chartreuse. Please don't dye the ducks this year. Don't even dye the goose. Our fine feathered friends all think that it's foul, that foul must take this lickin'. It gives us a pain. We have to complain. We chicken are chicken. Don't pick on the peeps this year. Give chickens a chance to grow. If you've got to paint and smear, just join an artist studio. But whatever you do, don't pick on the peeps this year. So while he did not halt the practice of coloring chicks, it's still legal in some states. But his message that chickens possess a dignity and integrity apart from human desires and that we should stop treating them as playthings to color and paint was certainly a progressive plea in the 1960s. When animals were often viewed not as ends in themselves, but merely as means for human enjoyment. And that was like before his show. And part of what inspired me to go like down this Mr. Rogers rabbit hole, and why I want to explore what he did in a future episode, is that he took this method of, you know, kind of pleading children, especially, and parents who have children, to human children, that is, to kind of not treat animals any differently than you would, especially farmed animals and animals that were viewed as commodities versus pets, like treat them all the same.
Yeah.
And he did that in several episodes, of which I watched a few minutes the other day and cried. So
I was trying to find online what states it's illegal to dye chicks in. Obviously, I know New York it's illegal. It's illegal in Florida. Looks like it's illegal in California. It's illegal in Massachusetts, but you'll only get punished by a $100 fine. Whereas in California, it's a misdemeanor.
$100 fine?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a parking ticket.
Yeah, actually, I feel like that's less expensive than a parking ticket, depending.
Yeah, especially with the police department around here.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't find, like, an actual, like, list of states where it's illegal, but, Yeah, anyway.
So that was my pop culture with Mr. Rogers, and I'm going to order this book, and I think we should do that in a future episode. We'll go over that, and you will hear about Mr. Rogers again.
Yeah, that would be really cute. I like that.
Yeah.
So a couple things.
Do you have a pop culture?
I do, but first I want to tell you where the phrase tomfoolery comes
right.
from.
Right.
So according to worldwidewords.org, it is sometimes claimed that the original Tom Fool was Thomas Skeleton. He was a jester, a fool for the Pennington family at Muncaster Castle in Cumbria. This was probably about 1600. He is said to be the model for the jester in Shakespeare's King Lear of 1606. In legend, he was an unpleasant person. One story tells how he liked to sit under a tree by the road whenever travelers he didn't like asked the way to ford over the River Esk. He would instead direct them to their deaths in the marshes.
Ooh, wow, that's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So when you say, so I usually use shenanigans and like tomfoolery as like silliness, but tomfoolery is like a little dark.
Yeah, it says around the 17th century, the character of Tom Fool shifted somewhat from the epitome of a stupid or half-witted person to that of a fool or a buffoon. Yeah.
Hmm.
So anyway.
Well, there we go.
So my pop culture, I remember, is that I found out, and this so pleases me, that Edie Falco is a vegan.
Really?
Yes. And I found this out because PETA posted pictures of animal rights activists at the March for Our Lives on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a picture of Edie Falco. And I was like, oh, what? So I Googled it. And she is actually, she went vegan fairly recently, but she's been a vegetarian for like 15 years or something like that. And I guess PETA is launching an international speaking tour beginning this month. Each stop will feature a keynote talk called We Are All Animals, along with a celebrity animal activist and outstanding regional vegan cuisine. And Edie Falco is going to kick off the event in Fort Lauderdale. But she talks about, she did an interview and she talks about, she says, it's hard to justify working for animal rights when you eat animal-based foods. Animals are mistreated in ways I had not imagined. I believe this is at the base of everything bad in society. You can bring it back to cruelty to animals. If you don't have respect for life of any kind, it will manifest in more obvious ways.
Hmm.
Yeah, so Edie Falco agrees with what we're going to talk about.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and she's at the March for Our Lives, so she's obviously pro gun control.
But it's my right. Oh, God. This is going to be a good episode. That's really good.
Yeah. I was psyched on that because I really like Edie Falco.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the Menendez trials, the Law and Order Menendez murders thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, The Sopranos. Nurse Jackie. Like, I feel like everything I've ever seen her in, I just really like Edie Falco. She's a, I think she's a good addition to the vegan movement for sure.
And I think it's really nice when you're like, I like this person in all of these shows and they're awesome. And you find out that they're a really good person versus like the Chris Pratt thing that we went over when you're like, oh, I really like Chris. Oh,
I know. Yeah. Not to get like too off topic, but have you seen previews for the Avenger, the next Avengers? What is it? Infinity War?
Oh, Infinity War, yeah.
Oh my God.
I already have tickets for it.
It's like so cool. You're such a loser. Why?
Because it might like sell out. We're going on like opening night. Opening night? The night after opening night. Because it opens on Thursdays
now.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm too old for that shit. I used to be so into the going to new movies at midnight thing. And I like just cannot do it.
I went a little earlier. We're doing 10:30.
Yeah. I'd rather go on like a Tuesday at 5. There's like nobody in the theater. I don't have to deal with the nonsense. Just like can't. Do it.
I was waiting if you were going to be like, oh, wow, cool, you have tickets. I was like, wow, you're not going to make fun of me for that?
No, no, I'm absolutely going to make fun of you for that, you loser.
Okay. We could talk about animal rights in Infinity War, how one of the main characters is a badass raccoon.
I know, a little baby raccoon. Oh, that's raccoons.
Right. Oh, wow. Let's not go there. Anything else Easter-wise? I know we want to take like just a hot minute and be like, hey, don't be a dick. Don't dye chicks.
Don't like buy animals for gifts, like chicks and rabbits and such.
I feel like it should be, because a gift in theory is usually not a discussion, right?
Right.
Like if I get you something for Christmas, I get you a book, I'm not going to really talk to you about it first and be like, hey, would you read this book or would you do this or that? So a gift, you're not going to talk about at all. It's going to be a surprise. It's just a thing that happens. And I don't think a pet, a new like member of the family, should be that.
Yeah.
Because like, I know one of the arguments for like when I did not have like a dog as a child is, and usually it's like, well, are you going to take care of it?
Right.
And kids won't, and parents don't want to, so they don't get the animal. But it's turned into, especially for Easter, parents get their kids bunnies and chicks as part of their Easter basket.
Yeah. So it occurred to me as we're sitting here discussing this, I'm like, wait a minute, why are rabbits and chicks even associated with Easter? So I Googled it. And it's a pagan thing.
Hmm.
So it says, this is from whyeaster.com.
Oh, this makes sense.
It says eggs and chicks are often associated with Easter because in pagan times they were signs of fertility and new life. The early Christians took over the meaning of new life because it helped them remember the resurrection and having new life through Jesus.
Hmm.
Eggs were used in ancient Persians and Egyptians by the ancient Persians and Egyptians to celebrate the new year, which happened for them in springtime. The eggs were colored and eaten during the celebrations. In Europe, colored eggs were used to celebrate Easter as house traditions or as house decorations. In Eastern European countries such as Hungary and Romania, wooden eggs are beautifully painted in lots of different patterns.
Whoa.
That's right.
Wooden eggs.
That's right.
What?
That's right. And then obviously Fabergé eggs come from Russian culture. Yeah, so that's where that comes from.
That's where that comes from. And I like that they said something that I want to kind of mention is like alternatives.
Because yeah.
I'm not, okay. So here's the thing.
What's the
thing? I'm not saying don't tell your kids, like tell your kids there's not an Easter bunny or like ruin Easter. Because Easter's a cute thing. And in all honesty, I'm going to receive my Easter basket in the mail on Wednesday because I still get one. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying maybe choose alternatives that are a little more friendly. I mean, let's start at the basics. Again, don't buy a live animal. Unless you talk to your kids and it's kind of a family decision of we're going to get a pet rabbit that is going to live 10 years.
Right.
Because the average lifespan, I think, is about 10 years, right? So, I mean, that's one thing. If you're going to do that, that's great. I had a pet rabbit, and he was awesome. Please do that if you can make that commitment. But don't get an animal just to put them in your child's basket.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So no pun intended, but now I've completely gone down the rabbit hole. of Googling all kinds of things Easter, because I'm like, what is the Easter bunny? Like, where does that come from? And so now I'm like, I've just completely, I'm going to have to skip this episode because I need to do Easter research and learn about Jesus. So
Can I, before we dive down? Too. I want to just say this thing that I saw at Whole Foods, because we're talking about Mr. Rogers kind of speaking to children and how he was trying to spread love and all these good messages to children, because let's be honest, they're like soft little brains are great to mold, you know, like what you tell your child is they're easily influenced. You know, they're children. Right. They want to learn. They're naive. They don't know anything yet. So what you teach them is what they get. Whole Foods, on the opposition, has also been appealing to children. So I saw this sign for Easter at Whole Foods with bright, colorful eggs on it saying sustainably sourced from cage-free Easter bunnies.
No!
Hashtag naturally dyed, hashtag makes me whole. Anybody? Yeah. I wish people could see your face right now. It's mouth agape. You look like a fish.
That is...
Right. Right. I saw this and I know that hashtag makes me whole seems to be something they're doing just to promote their food or whatever, like healthy options and stuff like right. that. But like sustainably sourced from cage-free Easter bunnies. I was like, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's just strange. Like,
why would you even word it that way?
I don't know. I think Easter Bunny children, there's so many things going on. And I'm like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're trying to like speak to children like, oh, like, look, the Easter Bunny approved of this.
Yeah, but why would you say cage free Easter Bunny?
I have no idea. It's very odd. So, yeah, there's that. Don't dye eggs. You know, a cool thing that I saw as the alternative of dyeing eggs? Well, there's a couple. I know Lauren is telling us at work, and I saw these as well, that there's plastic eggs you can get and dye.
Yeah.
From like Walmart.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be, you know, a pretty cheap thing to go to do. I really like the wooden eggs is a great idea.
Yeah.
I really like that I saw somewhere to get like oval shaped flat rocks and paint rocks.
I like that. Yeah.
And my thought is afterwards you could plant a garden and put the rocks in the backyard. In there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that's a really cool alternative.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just things like that. Like you don't have to take away quote unquote a tradition or like parts of a kid's childhood world.
Right.
You can just make better decisions about it, I think.
Yeah.
But candy's good. And the candy can be any goddamn shape that you want it to be.
Yeah.
You can eat chocolate in the shape of eggs and rabbits and carrots and whatever else you want. That does not mean that you are promoting eating animals. Also, apparently, there's an argument not to eat animal crackers because they are shaped like animals. Right. Anyways.
I'm trying to roll my eyes so hard that they'll be able to hear it.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's pretty good. It's pretty funny to watch. yeah, so that's what I got on Easter. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. You ready for this? Oh, so, yeah.
We could at least start by, I'd like to ask you a question.
Hit me with it. Hit me with your best shot.
I am pro-choice.
Yep.
Can I still be vegan?
Yes.
But I promote someone killing an innocent life.
Danielle. Feed that fire, girl.
That's right.
That's a good question. Yeah. I think so. Hold on. Before. So I think just like right quick before, like we were talking about before we like kick into our political conversation, I think maybe your house is being robbed. Your cat is at the window ready to defend.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
Yeah. No, but I think like right quick, right off the bat here, before we delve into our political conversation, I think it's very important for us to just go ahead right now and say that neither you or I in any way, shape or form support Trump.
Oh, no. the things that we say, the points that we make, the
disclaimer,
the arguments, it's almost like we're having like a debate here, right?
Yes.
Like you have to be able to speak to both sides,
which I think is very important.
Fact.
Yes.
Like we're speaking merely in facts. Like this is not the opinion of the two people on the podcast.
Sorry.
These are not our opinions, the networks, anything like that. These are just merely facts, numbers, statistics, things that we've read.
Yeah, just like stuff we've read and like a little bit of a debate that we've seen recently on social media and just kind of like chatter among the vegan community, if you will, about some topics that kind of fall under the political spectrum. And
Important to know.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear. I, Kathleen, will share, I'm a registered Democrat. I did not vote for Trump.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yes. I'm saying you could have. I am not saying you should have.
Right. So essentially what we're getting at here is we've just seen some conversation, if you will, lately about whether or not you can be pro-choice, whether or not you can have voted for Trump or support Trump and still identify as a vegan. Which I personally think is really absurd to imply that you can't be both of those things.
I'm concerned. Like, that's why I asked you, because
I see
this all
most
the time.
Pro-choice. Right. And I think that, like, the most pro-choice that has ever existed and the most anti-Trump that has ever existed. But I do know people who are vegan who did vote for Trump and who do support Trump. And so, you know, I don't think that those things are it's not like you have to be both in order for it to make sense. It's not like you can't be both in order for it to make sense. Like, obviously, there are going to be things that you support and things that you don't support. But like those things are going to outweigh. Right.
Well, and it's something I read because I have one survey that I read about and just like a lot of opinions and just thoughts. And one person I read an article written by someone who did vote for Trump and who is a vegan. And they're like, the way I deal with this, because they were responding to, well, you can't. They were like, I do my best to separate my moral from my political beliefs.
Sure.
And do I think that they overlap? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Often they do. However, I can see kind of like separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Sometimes you separate these things just to be able to deal with them.
Yeah. And what I think it is, though, because you can make the argument, you could have made the same argument for any of the political candidates from the election.
Absolutely.
I think because Trump is so severe and he is doing all of these things that affect the vegan community, if you will, and the animal rights community, that it's just, and obviously because he's the one who won the election too, it's just so much easier to say you can't be vegan and vote for Trump, because I guess that's the world that we're living in. Whereas like you could have said the same thing about Bernie, about Hillary, about anybody, because if you think about how, you know, what an advocate Bernie Sanders is for the environment, I'm fairly confident Bernie Sanders eats meat. So it's the same argument. It's just what's going on with Trump is obviously like a lot more in your face and a lot more severe.
Right.
You know, it's a lot more aggressive.
Right. So.
Yeah.
How do you want to do this?
So I guess like the two things that are like going on right now that are, I feel like, kind of sparking this debate are the Trump administration withdrawing the Obama era rule setting higher standards for treatments of animals that are sold as organic, that along with lifting the ban on importing trophies from elephants, from trophy hunting in certain countries in Africa.
Right.
So I think it's those two things that are really sparking this debate. And those are big things, like, don't get me wrong. However, there were plenty of, plenty of things going on in other presidencies that were just is bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In terms of animal rights and animal agriculture. I mean, I feel like Obama kind of got a lot done in the way of passing some stuff that now Trump is well, going and overturning.
And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier. And like I said, I think a lot of motivation for the Trump administration is to just undo what the Obama administration did.
Right.
So like, keep that in mind, folks. Like, if, you know, that's kind of what, and they've said that.
Yeah.
He, like, I'm almost 100% sure he has said, you know what, honestly, I have no doubt. I try not to listen to him very much. but I have no doubt that he said that one of his goals is just to undo what Obama did. So
right.
That's first motivator. And then, like, for instance, let's go with the trophy hunting first, right?
Let's do it.
Also, as we talked about, as a side note, it's not necessarily just Trump. In theory, he's making it so that it's like one man making all the decisions. He is trying to kind of swing it that way. But we still do have Congress, right? So technically what you're saying, what these people are saying, like, oh, you can't be a vegan and vote for Trump. What you're actually kind of saying is like, you can't be a vegan and be a Republican, because right now the Republicans are Trump and Trump is Republican.
And
they're,
I
like,
know so
one...
many vegan Republicans.
Right. Right. So, you know, so then are you really extending it to you can't be a Republican and be a vegan? Because that's what it is. Trump is Republican. The Republicans are Trump right now. But let's, that being said, with the trophy hunting, what motivation is there to undo that? Who's supporting that?
So, you're referring to what I told you before?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me find that article all over again.
Because at the end of the day, what motivates people? Money.
That's right.
Money makes the world go round, folks. And a lot of this has to do with money.
Yeah.
It's not all feeling good and more, like, honestly, it's not about morals necessarily.
Right. So the article, so initially, the Endangered Species Act stipulates that in order for such trophies to be approved, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what I'm looking for. The article that I was reading to you before, which I'm the worst at, like, bookmark. Oh, found it.
It is. Where are you hiding, silly?
This is from the New York Times, but essentially they're talking about how the six countries that you can now import from on a case-by-case basis are Zimbabwe, Zambia, Tanzania, South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. The policy does not mean that all trophies will be automatically permitted, officials said. The applicants will have to meet the same conservation and sustainability requirements as before, which I have so many questions about that. How can anything having to do with trophy hunting have anything to do with sustainability?
Right.
And conservation. But that's the thing, is that they're claiming that it helps with conservation. And they're claiming that the money from importing trophies will go to conservation.
Right. And by, like, endangering these species, it brings an awareness to the species.
Right. It says hunting organizations.
Talk to me about the white rhinos, motherfuckers.
Yeah, right. It says hunting organizations point out that big game sportsmen who may pay $100,000 or more per hunt to shoot a lion or elephant can provide indispensable funding for conservation. It says, though, that, because I also read that the money that comes in from trophy hunting is like a barely, it like doesn't even compare to tourism. So it's not even, and I know that that's the case for like British Columbia and Vancouver too, when we talked about like grizzly bear trophy hunting and all of that. They claimed that the money coming in would help with the economy, but there's actually way more money coming in from like tourism and like sightseeing tours, mm-hmm. to see the animals rather than hunting them.
Right.
But just to kind of back up to what you were asking me about before, the organizations that were pushing for this, mm-hmm. This ban to be lifted, were the Safari Club International and, surprise, surprise, the National Rifle Association.
The NRA is putting money towards things that involve guns and they're...
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's almost like guns are an issue for animals and humans, and they're an issue for everyone.
Yeah, it's real weird. Yeah, so the NRA was part of the push to get this lifted. This is crazy. It says, I'm trying to find the top of it. This means the decision to allow certain trophy imports isn't a done deal, Ms. Pepper said. Who is Ms. Pepper?
That sounds like a Clue character. You know?
Yeah.
Colonel Mustard, Miss Pepper, Mr. White.
Yeah. She is from the National...
They would have killed them with the fucking rifle.
I think Ellie, she's a good person. Ellie Pepper, Deputy Director of the Wildlife Trade Initiative at the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Well, then probably Mr. White killed Miss Pepper.
She's quoted to say, the decision regarding whether someone's allowed to shoot an endangered species shouldn't be made behind closed doors. The agency previously made determinations about trophies publicly available, she said, but under the new system, interested parties will have to file a freedom of information request to see details of case-by-case trophy hunting permits. Mm. Yeah. Kitty Block, the current acting president and chief executive of the Humane Society, was quoted to say, these decisions are all going to be made in the dark, and this new case-by-case approach doesn't give anyone comfort that these animals will be protected in the way that the previous system did. But what I was going to say, this means the decision to allow certain trophy imports isn't a done deal, Ms. Pepper said. When the ban was first lifted last year, the public expressed a lot of anguish, and it seemed to work for reversing that decision. Regardless of the final decision, Jan Stander, director of, oh gosh, Fundundu Wildlife Park.
Whoa,
I know, I'm sorry.
That's a name.
In Zimbabwe said lifting the trophy ban is too little too late. Zimbabwe's lost about 500,000 hectares of wildlife land since the trophy ban in 2014. He said it's all gone over to cattle and agriculture. This is crazy. Following President Obama's trophy ban, Mr. Stander had to drop his prices for lion hunts from $130,000 to $25,000. Elephant hunts, which he once marketed for $80,000, and he is quoted to say, I couldn't even give away. Like, these people are disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But anyway, so, like, this is certainly not just something that Trump is doing single-handedly. Like, there's so many people in his corner and so many, you know,
I mean, so here's the thing. Let's just go with it's funded by the NRA, right? So can you not be vegan and own a gun?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm very curious, like, are there people who identify as vegan and still hunt? Do you think? I bet there are. Because I would imagine that the argument there is that you're, like, hunting your own food and you're, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're not, it's not factory farmed. It's not, you don't, you know what I mean? Maybe you identify as vegan because you don't do anything else, but you eat what you shoot.
Yeah. I don't know.
I bet there are.
And honestly, I bet there's...
There's definitely vegans who own guns. Get out of here. I know a vegan who owns a gun, actually.
Yeah. I guarantee that there's vegans who haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to keep in mind, like, the stance that we were seeing in this particular argument on social media, because that's what sparked this whole discussion, mm-hmm. was that you could not be a vegan and have voted for Trump.
Right.
All of this stuff that we're talking about has only happened after Trump got elected.
Right.
Did Trump on the campaign trail talk about animal trophy hunting?
No.
No. So maybe these vegans were thinking about, you know, maybe they're white nationalists. Maybe they're like, you know what? He really says that he's going to make America great again. Maybe they're struggling and they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I agree with it.
Right.
However,
right.
I can see how someone could see that potential and still be a vegan and be like, you know what? I want it to be great. Yeah. I want the world to be better.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't put that much time into it. I don't know. I just don't think it's fair to say that you cannot be a vegan if you voted for Trump.
Right. No, I completely agree. I completely agree. It's like I said to you before. It's like that you can't if you love animals, you you have to be a vegan, like that whole thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Like the,
like if you love your cats and dogs, you have to be a vegan because you have to, like,
right yeah. It's the, like, the, you people who come back at you if you don't really love animals because you eat them. It's that whole thing where it's like, right. That's not like a clear line, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it's also like kind of what you were saying with, you know, people have a million reasons for voting the way that they do, and it doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily come down to that. I feel like you could argue so many other things. How can you do X, Y, and Z and still vote for Trump? How can you be X, Y, and Z and still vote for Trump? You know, how can you believe this but do that? And how can you, it's, you know, there's always going to be a certain level of hypocrisy. There has, mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be. Shit's just not black and white.
No. And so I was reading this very interesting thing because we... And this, because this is going to go like back and forth. This is why it's like almost like a little debate on the opposition. Have you ever heard of 269 Life?
No.
Okay. So they 269 was the name of a calf that was rescued. And let me get.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Carry on. I think I'm going to change my answer.
269 is a calf who was born into an Israeli dairy farm. His life was saved near his scheduled slaughter day. By branding his number on our bodies, we show yes. solidarity with the victim of the animal holocaust all around the world.
Yes.
Remembering to never forget.
Yes. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Good one. Yeah. So Sean has... that tattooed on his hand. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
Sean.
Hi, Sean. but so that is a whole group. That mm-hmm. is a whole another thing. They signed this petition mm-hmm. kind of thing on nonhumansfirst.com. So it's animal rights group and of activists being... and this is like a little background, right? They have like a list of things that they recognize. I don't want to say like a manifesto because that's really weird. Just things that they recognize, kind of guidelines, things that they, if they sign this, they kind of adhere to as their way of being activists, right?
Okay.
So we seek to work under the following voluntary principles. Number one, no one should be excluded from participation in animal rights activities based on their view on human issues. The non-human animals are in a situation of immediate emergency and need all the help they can get. Furthermore, the women's rights, anti-racism, etc. movements have no requirement that participants reject species oppression, and nor should the animal movement demand the adherence to human rights positions while animals are still in a state of emergency. Of course, every rule has its exceptions, as decided by individual groups, mm-hmm. but these kind of bans and exclusions should not be the norm in animal rights.
Yeah.
So.
Shit.
It's. Now. Again. This is not necessarily my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because I very much believe animal rights are tied into women's mm-hmm. rights. Are tied into racism. But. I do like that their opinion of, at the end of the day, we are being animal activists.
Yeah.
They are in dire need. They need our help. We are here for them. Set everything else aside.
Right.
Like it doesn't right. really matter what the other groups are that right. are, you know, we're focusing yeah. on animals.
Yeah. In fact, I went to a panel discussion at NYU Law over a year ago. This was January 2017. And it was a panel discussion. Kathy Stevens actually hosted it, and it was with Paul Shapiro and two other people whose names I don't remember, but one was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And the whole panel discussion was Trump, you know, animal mm-hmm. rights in the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. There was somebody else, I believe, I don't remember. Anyway, but one thing that they talked a lot about was bridging the gap between mm-hmm. animal rights and women's rights and, you mm-hmm. know, human rights in general, matters of race and things like that, mm-hmm. and how essentially... It does feel very you versus me. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Your cause versus my cause, rather than how can our causes work together?
Exactly.
You know?
And, like, it doesn't matter what background you come from. And they kind of go on, they say, the non-humans first declaration, which you just read, does not oppose the idea of human rights, nor does it put non-human animals above humans in moral status. What it does do is recognize human and non-human animals as equal in moral status. Its aim is only the recognition of the emergency situation of non-human animals and the fact that currently the majority of humans are in an oppressor-oppressed relationship with non-human mm-hmm. animals. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice in yeah. the way that it's saying, set everything else aside.
Yeah.
These beings are Focus. Equal.
Right.
Not more important, but in this moment, for this reason, they are equal to mm-hmm. humans. And right now, they are being killed in the masses, and we need right. to focus on them.
And if you turned away every single person who thinks differently than you do,
right,
you're going to be fighting this battle alone. You know what I mean?
You know?
Like, if you go around saying, oh, your political beliefs don't align with mine. Oh, your religious beliefs don't align with mine. Oh, you support this person and they did this. Like, you're just going to, you're going to literally alienate everyone because you're never going to 100% agree across the board.
With some, no.
You know what I mean? There's always going to be at least something.
I guess I don't understand why people can't just find the thing that they agree on and go with it.
Yes. And, you know, in fact.
And also why I mentioned the 269 life is they signed that.
Yeah.
That little guidelines, if you will, that little yes. list of guidelines.
And I think that we have.
Principles.
Oh, principles.
They use the word principles.
Nice.
I like that.
I think that we've read this aloud before, but the actual like definition of veganism is veganism is a way of living which seeks to exclude as far as is possible and practicable. Oh, I remember because practicable tripped me up last time,
right,
too.
It's
practicable? It's practicable.
Practicable. Practicable.
Anyway, all forms of exploitation of and cruelty
until
to
it doesn't make any sense.
Animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose. So I think that there are certain words in there that are important. A way of life which seeks to exclude. Seeks to exclude.
Mm-hmm.
As far as is possible. Like, there are certain things in there that are, like, very important to emphasize. Because that's, I mean, I guess you could say that this goes right back to our, you know, the whole vegan police thing. And how it's like, you have to do this, 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 and this, or you're not a vegan.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that you can, like, it just touches on so many things because it's also that thing again of like putting vegans in a box. You know what I mean? You have to do this, 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 right. and this in order to stay in this box. But like, why? Why do you even want to stay in that box? There's all these other things.
Why can't you, I don't know, go knocking on someone else's box door, hang out with them for a little bit, explore their box. I don't know.
What?
See someone else's point of view? I don't know.
I don't know what just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That just stop it. Andy's making it sexual.
That's why I'm not looking over there. I think you were making it sexual. You were just trying to find a way to talk about someone's box. Am I right? I'm right.
I don't know. I guess it's really shitty because what I like about this is they're not saying to ignore other issues. They're just saying find common ground on this
yeah.
issue.
Yeah. And we're all here to achieve the same thing.
Like, stop making it about you.
Yeah.
It's not about you. Yeah. It's about them.
To straight up say to somebody you are not a vegan is like,
you're plant-based because
it's just so offensive to me. But it's that thing again of changing someone's reality that
right.
we literally talk about all the time. Like, how are you going to walk up to somebody and say, you are not this, you are not that? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know why someone. It's so weird because it's like they claim they it's like in their head. They read this. They read what I just did about non-humans and their, you know, what's happening to them and how we need to be about them. And they twist it in their head to make it in such a way that instead of finding common ground with someone who has differences to make it about the non-humans, mm-hmm. they twist it to say, you don't care about the non-humans as much as I do.
Right.
They like manipulate it in their head. Yeah. They take this good thing that's trying to unite people and help a group of exploited beings, and they're making it about them. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I'm better because I care more. Because right. I don't eat
because
honey or I don't do this.
And I didn't do that. And I don't believe this. And I don't believe that. And I'm pro-life. And I'm,
so you can't care about them like I do.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, black and white is easy.
Gray is hard. That's right.
So I just, and it really frustrates me because then they use it as an excuse to treat people like shit. And I don't understand why someone who is like, well, I love animals and I'm fighting for them. I am a feminist and I'm fighting for women. I am, you know, fighting for equal rights for blacks and whites and gays and straights and everything else. But then you turn to someone and you say, you are shitty because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
My mind gets blown every time I see that.
Right. Yes.
How can you say that you are fighting for these oppressed people mm-hmm. when you then are becoming the oppressor and saying that you are not good?
Yeah. That's a fantastic point. Love that.
And I just, and I feel like you ask these people these questions and all they can come back with is a bunch of like stuttering and, you know, just insults.
Yeah.
And being like, well.
Well, I think, you know, I think like questioning anybody's ideals makes them uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So if somebody makes a very bold statement and you're like, hey, but wait and think about this, this, this and this, a lot of people will just retaliate and get defensive and flip out rather than being like, oh, you know what? You're right. I didn't think about that. Great point, but I still disagree. Or great point. I'll mull that over a little bit more or whatever.
Let's talk a little more about
it. Yeah. And I think that morals or ethics, if you will, are more often than not used as an excuse to treat people badly. Mm-hmm. I can treat you badly because I have these high moral standards and I'm very ethical. And because I believe this and know it to be true, I can treat you badly mm-hmm. because you don't agree.
Right.
You know?
And I just don't see how someone doesn't see the hypocrisy in that.
Right.
Self-awareness. How are you not aware?
Right. Self-awareness is like everything.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I know I've said this to you before. I try so hard to like get in people's heads and be like, okay, why do you think this? Like, where mm-hmm. is this coming from for you? Please help me to understand mm-hmm. what your train of thought is, how you got there, how you can feel that way. Like, educate me on you. You know what I mean? Because I really want to understand people's point of views so that I can improve my own. You know what I mean?
Because you're going to find someone else who you interact with that has that same view that right. person. So if you dismiss person X because they have this view right. that you don't agree with, and then you come across person Y and they have that same view as person X.
Right.
Are you going to keep dismissing people?
Right. And it's also a matter of, like, for me, I just choose to believe that people are inherently good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't hear somebody say these things and be like, oh, wow, what a piece of shit, what an idiot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, I know you to be a decent human. Like, you're vegan. I know you've got some similar morals and ideals to me. I know that you go and you protest and you do this and that to support animal rights. I know that, you know, you are pro-choice, you're pro this or whatever. Like, I know that you're a good person. I know that about you. So how is it that this is what you're thinking? Like, please explain to me how you're right. thinking this way, because I'm seeing this as a thought process that's less than great. And so I want to understand how you, a intelligent, lovely person, is thinking this way. You know what I mean?
And, you know, like, I'm sure there is a person who voted for Trump, has a pet dog, eats hamburgers and hot dogs at a barbecue.
Right.
And goes to the horse racing protests.
Right.
I'm sure that that person does all of those things.
Right.
Does that make them that they don't love animals?
Right.
Does it make them less of a person? It right. makes them different. I would love to educate them on why,
right.
you know, eating animals is the weird. And that's what sticks out to me.
Yeah.
Of those four things I just named, what doesn't make sense to me is the eating animals, not right. necessarily the voting for Trump.
Right. Yeah, like I was saying you, I know a woman who has a gay son and voted for Trump. Like, there are so many things that don't make sense to me, but I want to know, like,
why does it make sense to you?
Yeah, why does this make sense to you? Like, I'm not saying that I want to know that in a way where I want you to educate me on your thought process so that I can then educate you on why you're wrong.
Right.
I just genuinely want to know how people get there. Like, how do you feel this way? How did you come to make this choice?
But then also, if you do want to not educate them why they're wrong, but educate them
just give
by
them an,
hearing their thought process, you know
give
how to best educate them.
Yeah.
Because what speaks to one person is not going to speak to another.
That's right.
Is not going to speak to another. So if you hear their story and you say, okay, I'm going to listen to you, tell me what you think and why you think it, you can then, as an activist, and I think as someone who's doing it the right way, you can then, how am I going to get to this person? How do I reach them without just berating them?
Yeah. I just want to give people something to think about. And so sometimes I would like to hear what it is that you're already thinking about, you know, and then honor the way that you feel. Great. I disagree. Kind of think what you think is shitty, but it's what you think. So let's talk about that, you know?
Yeah. And then I think by giving them the opportunity, hopefully they'll do the same for you. And that's where you spark a discussion.
Yeah.
And that's how you change the world.
Yeah. I just think that there's so much negativity. Like, why?
Why you gotta be mad, bro?
Yeah. Why are you so mad?
Why are you so mad all the time?
Yeah. Because the other thing, too, was the whole Trump lifting the laws on the way animals are treated as organic. You know, that was the other thing. The trophy hunting was the one thing. And then the other thing was this. But there has been, like, so much back and forth on that over time that, like, you know, we were kind of talking before about how this really only touches, like, a small but it only touches a portion of the animals that are raised for food. We're not talking about all animals that are raised for food, just animals that are labeled organic. So it's this thing of why not give people the chance to do the right thing here and say, hey, Trump administration, we don't want this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let the people speak, because I'm sure the people who voted for Trump are not going to be like, yeah, fuck those animals. Well, not all people are going to be like, fuck those animals. We don't care.
Right.
You know, people care about animals. Of course they do. You know, nobody wants to see these videos of chickens in battery cages and walking over, you know, their fellow dead chickens in these quote unquote cage free facilities. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to contribute to that. So, like, give people a chance, you know, just because you voted for this person whose administration is making these very poor choices doesn't mean that you agree with those poor choices. You know, you're not the one signing the bill. This guy that you supported because of a multitude of other reasons is doing this.
All of a sudden, and you can email us, correct us.
I would
correct
love
me.
To hear from some vegan Trump supporters. Like, I genuinely would if we have any people who listen to us who voted for
Trump.
Me too.
Or if you know someone who is a vegan Trump supporter, even if you yourself are not one, but reach out to us. Just explain to me why it needs to be, like, put together that they were focusing on that. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that he did not talk about that on the campaign trail.
Right.
I mean, maybe he did. Again, I didn't really follow it that closely because he just scared the crap out of me.
I mean, there was so much stuff that came out of that campaign that it's like, how can you support this man because he said X, Y, and Z, that I don't even think that the animal rights part of it even came up.
No.
You know what I mean? And I think that you probably knew at least partially going into it that he wasn't going to be the best advocate for animals, but that stuff just wasn't discussed because women's rights and minority rights and all these other things were being discussed because he had some terrible things to say. And I know that a lot of people who supported him anyway were like, well, I don't agree with him on that, but I agree with him. He's a good businessman. He's this, he's that, he's this, he's that. So if you're able to overlook all these other things, of course you're going to be able to overlook this as well. You know, I just don't think it's like a black and white.
It's not. The world is not black and white.
Right.
And I think sometimes people forget that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the animals would want us bashing each other to fight for them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think they would want
They're probably like, get it together, guys.
Right.
We need your
help. Like, what if in a room of, you know, 20 people, there's five Trump supporters? You're going to get rid of, you know, five people just because.
Yeah, there's 20 people ready to go and protest or bear witness at a slaughterhouse or what have you. And it turns out that, you know, half of them voted for Trump. Are you going to be like, no, sorry, guys, you can't come?
Well, and actually,
you know, y'all can't come and support the animals with us.
Throw a couple of stats real quick. I know we're coming up on time, but this is what's kind of interesting about this. This one article that I was reading. From a person at the Monmouth University in West Long Branch, New Jersey, a political science and sociology person, wrote an article that it was received on the 29th of August and then accepted in the 12th of November, 2017, talking about Trump veganism, political survey of American vegans. And it was a very long, dry education piece.
Sure.
I'll tell you that. But what I did take away from it were a couple of things. And so the biggest thing is that they did this survey. 287 identified as vegan, and that's they could participate. That's the people that they wanted to take stats on.
Mm-hmm.
Results. 49% of them had been vegan for 5+ years. 42% of them vegan for 1 to 5 years, and 8% less than a year. There's a whole bunch of like other, you know, what race, this and that. However, the most important thing is that there was the Trump supporters in there, and there was only 11 of them.
Hmm.
There was only 11 out of 287 vegans that identified as Trump supporters. Now, mind you, there were a lot of people that identified as no party.
Yeah.
There are some who did the green, some socialists, some anarchists, like all over the board, but only 11 people identified as staunch Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, 32% of them that were vegan that agreed with Trump in some sort were vegan for less than a year.
Mm.
11% of them are vegan for 5 or more years.
Wow.
What stuck out to me about that correlation is if those 11%, then, you know, just don't they, the 11% and the other ones, stop being vegan. What amount is that? Like, these are people, the less than a year, 32% of those people, less than a year being vegan.
Yeah.
They're still new vegan. They're still susceptible to the maybe I won't be.
Right.
So what if I, as a vegan, turn around and I'm like,
not a real vegan.
You're not a real vegan, and you've only been vegan for 2 months. And you're like, well, I guess I'm not. Fuck it.
Fuck these people. Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, some people haven't been vegan long enough.
Yeah.
Maybe they voted for Trump and then became vegan, and then you're like, nope, fuck it, you can't.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So it's just seeing those couple of numbers, like, that's not fair to them.
Right.
They're new. They're new vegans. Maybe they don't know. Maybe their dad had a heart attack and they learned that it'd be better to be vegan for your health. But yeah, they voted for Trump. And now you're telling them you're wrong and you can't be vegan. And then they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who are new to this cause especially deserve the chance to be heard.
Yeah.
And to hear the other side.
So, for sure.
Boils down to just let people
live and let live.
Let people live. And I don't know. Coming at people from a place of anger is not going to solve anything. You almost ate your microphone.
I did almost eat my microphone.
Oh,
yeah.
And we'll link up all these things so you can read this very dry but informational article and all the other stuff too. So, yeah.
Yes.
Anything else you want to talk about before we'll hit into the good part, which is
the food? Yeah. No, I got nothing else. Let's do it. Let's talk about food.
Okay. I have like a fun little thing. I've eaten a lot of maple recently.
Maple?
Maple. Because
like maple candy?
Yeah. Maple candy, maple syrup, maple taffy, all of these things because the past 2 weekends were like the maple farm open houses. And so I went and got some fresh maple syrup, tasted the difference, maple candy. It's a great sugar alternative.
Yeah.
If you want to replace, you know, white sugar. It's really tasty. And that's about all I got is just recently. I think that's it.
Yeah. I feel like there was another thing that I had.
Oh, and hey, Vicky, thanks for the dip. Ooh, it's really good.
It is really good. Right, I keep getting right like now. Whiffs of it as Me we're too. Recording. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. There was something else I wanted to talk about aside from the bridal shower that I went to. But now I don't remember what it was. Maybe it'll come to me. But so yesterday was Emily's bridal shower at the Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. They did an entirely vegan menu. One of the things that was on the hot bar was that Philly sandwich that you're talking about with the cashew cheese on top. It was so good.
So good.
They made this like curry thing with vegetables, quinoa, this like rice and black beans thing with like a vegan cream on top. It was so good. And like, I think Emily and I were the only vegans. Her one cousin is a vegetarian, I believe. But everybody else there were omnivores. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so good. So shout out to the Hollow because it was truly amazing. And it was really cool too. They like shut down the whole place. And everyone That's was awesome. Like, yeah, everyone was like, oh, aren't they closed on Sundays? And I was like, no, I've been here for brunch on Sundays. You and I went to brunch on a Sunday. So I don't know. But the whole place was closed and I guess like closed for the day.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you're looking for an event that you need catered vegan, the Hollow did an amazing job. They got her cupcakes catered by Baked by Brie, who does Bourbon and Wolf
Bourbon.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And then got some cookies from Baked for You in Albany, the girl's best friend cookies with the pretzels and the potato chips.
Those
things are
so
good. So
good.
Yeah. The cupcakes were really good too, so shout out to her. But it just was so good. And I have like so many leftovers, but I didn't bring them because I literally have like
tubs.
Tubs. And it's all like to go containers from the Hollow. So I don't know what's in them. I have to like go through them and figure out what's what. But I have like.
I'll take some later.
Oh my God. Week. I have so much stuff. I have enough quinoa to get me through like the next week. I ate all the Philly stuff. That is no more.
That's okay.
But I have the rice, the quinoa, the like curry type stuff. I think that's it. There was also like a mushroomy thing. I'm not sure what it was because I didn't have any there, but I do. I have that.
Ooh.
So. Yeah, it was so good. And I feel like there was something else.
You sparked me. Remember, I can't believe I forgot about this. Made another trip to Garden Cafe.
Oh, sure.
Which you can never go wrong there.
No, that chickpea sandwich thing, the Mediterranean chickpea thing is so fucking good.
I got the tofu, the peppercorn crusted tofu.
Yes.
Andy got a pesto pasta, which was really good. And then we had the best friggin' desserts. They had a brownie a la mode.
Ooh.
And it was like this huge, it was like the size of a plate, this huge brownie. And it was, there is, sometimes you can taste if something's vegan, right? The texture is a little different, the density, something.
Couldn't tell.
Wow. It was so good. And they had this coconut lemon raspberry cake, I think.
Ooh.
Was really good. So if you're ever in Woodstock, folks, go to Garden Cafe because it's delicious. And that smoothie. Oh my God. They make a smoothie. The
is it the purple one?
Blue Velvet. Yeah. That's the one. That's my
it's
favorite.
So good. Yeah.
It's so good.
So good. I remember the other thing I wanted to talk about was that ShopRite in Niskayuna has your Oatly oat milk.
Oh, it's in my fridge right now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Proud of you. At which ShopRite did you get it at?
The one in East Greenbush, actually.
Oh, yeah. So Niskayuna and East Greenbush then. Did they have Ripple? Did they have the Ripple yogurts there?
No, they did not.
Oh, well, the one by me does. The one in Niskayuna does. That strawberry Ripple Greek yogurt. Christ almighty.
It's fucking delicious.
It was so good. Yeah, I did. I put like just some granola in it and then I just put a little bit of agave on top as like kind of, you know, like instead of honey or whatever. And it just was so good.
It is very good.
It was so good. I'm trying to think what else. I feel like there was something else.
I started seeing Elmhurst at Walmart's around the area.
Oh, really? Because they have it at the co-op.
Yep. They have it at Walmart's.
Oh, wow.
Which...
Did you do their oat
love.
Milk?
I have done their oat milk as well, which is also very, very good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to steer away from almonds whenever I can, which we have to do an episode on that too.
For sure.
But I'm an oat milk fan. But Elmhurst, I love, again, because it was and it still says we were a dairy company. It's still on the packaging. But to be at Walmart, that means it's going to the masses.
Yeah, that's just so cool.
Like, yeah. And they have weird milk. They have rice milk.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen rice milk before, though.
Oh, I haven't. Yeah. It's so strange.
Yeah, rice milk you can find, and you know how there's, like, the aisle with the non-dairy milks that are, like, boxed?
Right. I never go down there.
Yeah, like, hemp milk and rice milk. You can find all those down there. But what was I going to say? Oh, I'm still on like the Ripple milk kick. Who was I talking to? Oh, I think I was talking to Lauren about it the other day and we were saying how it's like so expensive, but I was like, I don't give a fuck.
No, yeah.
It is so goddamn good.
Yeah.
I was like, I do not care.
No.
I will pay it. I don't care because it's so good. And I don't go through milk very quickly.
I don't either.
So it lasts me.
That's the thing that kind of drives me nuts about them, though, is they only have like a 7-day freshness after you open them.
Yeah, that's true. But like, I'm going to drink it past the 7 days.
I know, me too. Well, because it's vegan. So what's that bad
right.
in it?
Right.
That's kind of like if I leave something out accidentally, I'm like, well, it didn't go bad.
Yeah, that's
because
really no better than like almond milk, though, because Mike accidentally bought almond milk a couple weeks ago. He always buys cashew. And it's like it said on the top, like, drink within 7 days or whatever. And he was like, what? Because cashew is a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
And I usually buy, I've been buying flax milk before I got back on my Ripple kick, and that lasts for fucking ever.
Yeah. I mean, eventually it'll get weird, yes, but it's not.
And
it's
I don't,
not cow lactation.
Yeah, I don't like drink it. I put it in like smoothies or.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't
exactly.
Like, sometimes cereal, but mostly like smoothies or coffee, or I'm not drinking it straight or whatever. Oh, God. Every time we podcast, I immediately want a bowl of cereal.
There you go. I think I'm going to make as my evening treat a root beer float.
Ooh.
Because Natamu is on sale at Whole Foods.
Ooh.
For like $2 or $3 off, some ridiculous price off. And
that
I have
so
vanilla
good.
And I have a special can of root beer that I bought for myself too.
That sounds delish. You should do that. I support that choice.
I'm going to do that.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And that's... We're getting a finger swirl.
Wrapping it up. We got to wrap it up.
Either that or Andy's having some kind of weird party over there.
Oh.
Yikes.
Yeah, we probably should wrap it up because Andy and I need to practice for karaoke.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you can go for the Mr. Rogers song. You can come up too. You guys could come up. I'll be drinking a root beer float in the other room. Probably petting a cat.
All right. So we should probably do the stuff and the things, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Where do you find us? How do you talk to us?
Email us.
Yeah. I don't even bother asking for that anymore. It's like when I was little and I asked Santa for a Barbie, for like a Kelly doll, the 90210 Kelly doll.
Mm.
And Christmas morning, I got a Barbie hot tub with a note that said that Santa was all out of Kelly dolls. That's what this is like for me. You just ask for something that you really want and you just don't get it.
Yeah.
You get some bullshit.
Well,
instead.
What's interesting, actually, what's interesting is people, especially because we know people who listen to this podcast, will say to me, I wanted to email this, but then I didn't. So I'm just going to tell
so
you.
So from now on, when that happens, I'm just going to go,
la, 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 la. That's right. So you can never tell us unless you email, because we're going to go like that and
yeah,
not
and
listen.
Just straight up run
and
away.
Then I'll run away, but then I'll watch for them to be on their phone, because the second I see them on their phone, I'm going to be like,
you
could fucking be emailing
me?
Us yeah. right now. And if you're not. Go do it.
Bye.
I like that.
So if someone was going to email us, where would they, what, how do you do that?
The VSpot podcast at gmail.com.
At hotmail.com?
Hotmail.
Angel Fire.
Oh, AOL. Yahoo. Honestly, Yahoo.
I have a Yahoo. Weird. Whatever.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you use it?
It's like my spam email. Like all of my Payless coupons and my Michaels coupons and like all that shit goes to my Yahoo email because I've literally had it for like 10 years.
Why you Yahoo?
Yahoo.
Why who? Why?
Anyways.
Gmail.
Yes, at gmail.com.
But you can find all these things. Also the Instagram. At where can you find all those? If you just wanted to go to one spot because you're limited on time, you didn't want to open your Instagram app and your Facebook or anything else, what would you do?
I think it's Soundbite FM. I think. I'm not sure. Sound Swallow?
Well,
I was trying to think of a funny joke and I got nothing. I'm so tired.
That was like a deep pull there. Like that was
I know.
rough.
It's because it's the opposite of bite. You swallow.
I don't think swallowing is the opposite of biting.
Sure it is.
No, I think... Well, no, I like gumming.
Gum?
Like,
sound gum? Sound gum?
I think if you gum something, it's the opposite of biting. Now I drooled. but anyways, what? The vspot.fm and soundbite.fm. Mm-hmm. Head to those two places. The vspot, you'll get all of our stuff right there, one stop. And Soundbite, you get to check us out and other awesome podcasts.
Is there, if you go to the vspot.fm, is there like a way to email us from there? Is it all inclusive?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
It is literally a one-stop shop.
Weird.
And then when you listen to this episode or that last episode that everyone loved, you should rate.
Rate, review, and subscribe, for fuck's sake.
Subscribe. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Lots of people have subscribed, so thank you.
I subscribe to our podcast.
Because our last episode accidentally went up.
Oh, early. I know. Jesse told me.
And we have an idea of how many people subscribe, roughly, because in that small snippet of time, a whole bunch of people got the episode because they automatically updated it. Yeah, in a half hour. So thank you for subscribing. But we don't have 50 rates or reviews, so thank you for subscribing, but also get on that.
Yeah, please do it.
We appreciate it. I'd like to someday make, like, a list, a good list, not, like, a you're a Scientologist list. Not that I am. But, like, be on a good list of top podcasts.
Oh, you want to be on a list?
Yeah.
I thought you meant you wanted to physically make a list, like, naughty and nice.
No.
The fuck just happened?
I don't know. I think Andy just body slammed my cat.
Why?
He's fine. I don't know.
It's animal abuse. We don't support that here at the V-Spot podcast.
Andy, maybe you should listen to the V-Spot podcast a little more and learn some more about animal rights. Yeah.
In the meantime. Oh, shit.
She doesn't have her clicker, guys.
Don't. Where is
this
it?
This is dramatic.
Oh, my God.
Dun,
guys.
Dun.
Have it. Okay, sorry.
Done.
False alarm.
We're back. All right. Ready?
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That was close.
Bye.
Bye. Crap.
<That's>